In today's message, I will not read an abundance of scripture, but if you listen carefully, you will hear a lot of scripture. This is not a Bible study, but a study of the Bible. Okay? Thank you for joining me. The title I've given my message today is Plainly and Simple, The Choice is Yours, Heaven or Hell. Heaven or Hell. Now, I am going to open with some scripture. I'm going to John 10, verses 1 to 5. John 10, verses 1 to 5. Okay? John 10, 1 to 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And verse 5, and a stranger will they not know, or, pardon me, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There you have it. John 10, verses 1 to 5. Read it over yourself. Now, I want to ask you a very serious question here. How many people sit in a church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday checking their watch, or daydreaming, or simply being bored by the man behind the pulpit? Well, the answer is, we don't know. We don't know. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to bring forth a message, Lord, that I pray will honor thee and, Lord, will establish us in our faith. Help us, O God, to realize the importance of drawing closer to you through thy precious word. For I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, the reason we don't know is because we can't or we cannot get inside people's heads. At least not as easy as we think. Now, look down the aisle in your church and tell me what you see. An old man in obvious thought playing with his handlebar mustache? Maybe a child with a doll that looks something looks like something out of a horror flick. Or a young boy with his head resting on the back of his seat while he counts the light bulbs in the ceiling. And what of yourself? What uncertain thoughts might crowd your mind? Are you thinking about work? Are you thinking about the big game on TV when you get home, or you had to abandon to go to church? Or are you thinking about that fine-looking lady sitting close by whose perfume fills your nostrils? Huh? Well, we don't know for sure, do we? Only you do. And what are we doing? What are we doing, we who believe that we are faithful and true to the Word? What are we thinking? Where are our thoughts as the sermon seems to drag on endlessly, with all due respect to my pastor. Now, there's nothing new here, not a thing. The entire scenario is par for the course, if you will. I did not say good for the course, but par for the course. The last poll I heard about churchgoers went something like this. 92% of churchgoers are going to hell. They're not saved.
Wow.
How would someone determine that? What kind of poll would it be? What do you think? Wow. Who'd have thunk, huh? Can that really be possible? So, I guess that means that 92% of our churchgoers go just for the hell of it. Pardon the play on words. Have you noticed many preachers today don't even allude to hell? They don't want to disturb, if you will, their coffers. And others, well, when preaching a message, they run right past it or right through it like it didn't exist. People, hell does exist. That's why I called my message heaven or hell. And you have a choice. Which one are you choosing? Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. You may be out of your mind and not know what I'm even talking about. Or anybody. I'm here to tell you folks, hell does exist. And Christ died to prove it. What other reason would he go and allow himself to be crucified on a cross? It was to save us, the world, who are sinners right from the get-go, to save us, that we may enter into his presence. There's nothing new here, like I said. This entire scenario is, well, average. Oh, I'm here to tell you folks, hell does exist. Now, I'm not Audie Murphy, a great World War II hero who put on a movie called To Hell and Back. Well, that was his kind of hell in the war. He did a fine job representing our country. But the hell I'm speaking about is the one down under. The one that's eternal. The one that a flame hell that burns. The one that's there is no escape from. That's the hell I'm talking about. Christ died to prove there was a hell. Did you know that the Bible speaks more about hell than about heaven? Jesus spake a lot about hell. Why would he do that? Huh? Why would he do that? It's because he doesn't want anyone to go there. So he's given us fair warning. Do you get that? Do you get that? Nothing could be clearer. Jesus went to the cross, to pay for our sins so we would not go to hell. How simple and basic can it be? You see, hell wasn't meant for us. It was made for the devil and his angels. Not for you and me, not for grandma and grandpa, not for our precious children or our brothers and sisters. No! The Bible says that hell is a place of great torment. So why would anyone want to go there, where you will suffer eternal torment? Why? It just doesn't make any sense. The real truth is, nobody really wants to go to hell. But the problem is, nobody wants to believe in hell. But you see, if you don't believe in hell, you can't believe in heaven, which means neither one exists, and you, when you die, you'll just die, and that'll be the end of it. Well, I beg your pardon. That's incorrect. And if you're dying to find out the truth, it'll be too late. And here's something else you might not have known. The lake of fire, hell, is really, really real. You don't want to go there. You don't. Believe me, you don't want to go there. So you ask me, do I have a choice? Do you have a choice? Well, I'm glad you asked. Yes. Yes, yes. You most certainly do. We all have a choice between heaven and hell. Now, let me explain how this whole thing works, okay? I want to make sure you understand. It's important that you understand if you end up going there. I'm talking about hell. You see, you'll know why you're in hell. So, come a little closer to the speaker. I'm going to tell you all you need to know. Okay? Comfy? Good. There are several main reasons people go to church. Several. I say several. I'm being nominal, I guess. First of all, people go to church because they're searching. Hey, and that's good. That's good. Because in church, if it's a Christian church, you're going to learn about heaven and hell. Secondly, people go to church to hear people gossip and see what they're wearing. Well, that's not so good. And another reason people go to church is because it's a Christian holiday, like Christmas or Easter. Well, that's good too. There's another reason why people go to church, because their wife or girlfriend, excuse me, or their boyfriend or mom or dad or boss want them to go, eh? They don't want to go, but they feel they have to go to be pleasing in the eyes of others, not to God. What are they searching for? People who don't want to go to church. Help. Yes. Mostly spiritual, we hope. What about direction? And knowledge about God. They'd rather have someone tell them what the Bible's all about in one plain, simple sentence than try to figure it out for themselves. There's also a fear of misinterpretation, not quite understanding. This is a good reason to go, to find out the truth. Then there's those who go to church for gossip and to be critical of what others are wearing. Yes, it goes on. This is one of the main reasons you shouldn't go to church, if we're just going there to examine others. I pray you're not one of them. And I pray that's not the reason why our church attendance fluctuates. You'll get more in church on a Sunday morning than you will on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night. I guess you all know that who attend church regularly. People go to church on special occasions. That's when there's the most people in church. Christmas is probably the best time many people will go to church. Well, Easter too, They just love the music of the season. The music of the season. And to hear all about Mary and the Christ child. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. We should all know about Mary and the Christ child. That's what Christmas is. Still, most consider it an accomplishment that has drawn them closer to God. You ever step outside after a hearty sermon and feel refreshed? Have you? I have. Glad that I came. Glad that God's Word has given me something new. Something I need to grasp harder to. Hold fast in my heart. More understanding about what the Word of God says. People also go to church when they're terribly afraid or deeply distressed. Hoping for a miracle, perhaps. Oh, yes. Maybe. How often have you seen people who would never step foot inside a church unless someone close to them had died? Lots of people are like that. And then they can't wait to get out of there. But you know, more people go to church when there's been a great tragedy. Remember 9/11? For several weeks, the churches around New York State especially, and even across most of America, they were virtually filled to capacity. Why? For the dead that were killed in this great assault on American soil? Why? It's too late. But that's the mindset they have. And as the tragedy became weakened by time, so did their desire to be inside of a church. And before you could say, "Praise be to God," many of the pews were empty again. It's an eerie thought. But now I know why Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." He was, of course, referring to those who were lost and not saved. Not saved. Without perhaps confusing you with too much scripture, I'll do my best to make plain and simple the real reason to attend church. Okay? Firstly, Jesus said, "Where my people," that's the saved, "are, there am I in their midst." So if you're in church, Jesus is there with you. Now, please do not call the church building the church. It's not. The church is the people who are assembled inside the building. And if these people inside that building have given their lives over to Jesus Christ, then they are no longer just the assembly. By their faith and acceptance of Christ as their personal Savior, they are assured a mansion in glory, and have been given a new name. A new name written down in glory. They are now part of the body of Christ. Which means they are espoused. They are espoused to Christ. Espoused means they belong to Him. And one day He will come and take them home to always be with Him. To always be with Him. You know, in ancient Bible times, espoused meant the same as betrothed, which meant belonging to, although the marriage is not officially consummated. but you belong to him. That's his wife or his woman. That's her man. The consummation of our marriage to Christ is a spiritual one. You got that? A spiritual one. In the earthly realm, consummation is defined physically. When you became a Christian, when you turned to Jesus Christ in faith, believing that he went to the cross at Calvary and suffered and died for your sins, and this now is of utmost importance, and he rose again on the third day. If you are sincere in your heart, then you become at that moment a born-again child of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. How great is that? Now, God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. So he will know for sure if you really are sincere. All that you believe is in your heart. And if you are sincere, then the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to abide inside of you. That might sound a little bit eerie to you. Huh? I don't have anybody living inside of me. Well, you do if you want to go to heaven. And that's how it's done. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is simply to help you clean house. You know, get rid of that sinful garbage that you keep digging into. And your deeds. What kind of deeds are you doing? He will strengthen you and help you to rid yourself of your old and sinful ways. And he will never, never leave you. Have you got that? He will never, never leave you. He is Christ. He is God. And no matter what happens, he will be your hope until the day when you are raptured, taken out from this world to be with our Lord in glory. Comfort yourselves with these words. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You think he was only joking? God doesn't joke. No. This means, actually, no matter what comes your way, he will be your advocate. He will be your compass, sort of, through life. He will strengthen and encourage you. And he will bless you in many ways. Though your trials may be many, your comforter has come. You got that? Your comforter has come. And he died for you on Calvary's cross. My friends, hold tightly to him. Hold tightly to him. He is precious and holy and righteous and pure. Now that you are a child of the King, great. It's time to get busy doing for the Lord, and giving him the preeminence in your life. And please be advised. Please be advised. The more you obey and do for Christ, the more difficult. This sounds bad, but it's good. The more difficult things can be, the closer you walk with Christ. Look at the world we're living in today. In fact, that's the first sign that you're a real Christian, when the world begins to turn against you. Ask Donald Trump, President Trump. Ask him. As soon as he took on the banner of Christianity, his life has been nothing but tragedy, one tragedy after another, from those who don't believe. Jesus tells us not to worry, because the world first hated him. I'm talking about Christ. When you come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, those who are not in Christ may look at you a bit strangely, and some of your old friends may give you a cold shoulder. Well, don't be alarmed, but always try to tell them about your Jesus and how you too, or how they too, can have salvation like you have and go to heaven. If they reject you, then remember this. It's not you they're rejecting, it's Jesus. They're rejecting Him too. To reject Jesus Christ is the most serious thing you can do. Why? Because when Jesus returns for His church, those who have rejected Him will be lost forever and go to hell. Please be strong. There'll be times when you'll think that He's forsaken you, but He promises never to forsake us or leave us. There may even be times when you feel like giving up. We all have been there, right? But take heart, let your faith kick in and remain strong in the faith. So how do you do that? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The indwelling Holy Spirit will get you through it. In the long run, you will see. It will all be worth it. There is nothing more powerful than the love of Christ. Nothing more powerful. You know, as you walk your Christian life, you will encounter many false witnesses. They'll come to you with a gift of gab that'll cause your head to spin. But please beware. Many are the wolves that come forward in sheep's clothing. These people work tirelessly for the devil, and they'll do anything to sway you from your faith. They'll come at you with the subtlety of Satan, looking to destroy and consume you. Yes, they will. There are many religious groups, I say religious because that's all they are, who believe you can lose your salvation. Take heart, dear reader. Take heart. Once saved, always saved. What God has done, He will not undo. He will not undo. It's that simple. I hope this message today has been of some encouragement to you. I can't ask you to believe in me and what I say, for it's not I at all, but He who dwelleth within me. Believe in Him. People will let you down. But remember this, God will take you up. May God be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.